This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
A good Wednesday afternoon on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We are with you live all the way up to 6:30. We got Caps tickets at 4, tickets to see the Deftones at 5. And all kinds of football to discuss. Hello, Danny Ruye.
Hey, buddy. We got a lot to do, so I'll tell you this story super quick. I mentioned it in my double play. Was it yesterday, the day before? I can't remember. Minor fender bender, got sideswiped. Got to go through the whole claims process and take the car to the body shop, et cetera. It's going to be a couple weeks because they got to take a panel off, fix the wheel. It's a whole thing, rental car, yada, yada, yada. In the middle of filing the claim and going through it, it's just pain-free as it can be. It's still just pain in the butt, normal. I get a slew of emails from my insurance company. And in one of those emails, it goes, "We received your request, and your insurance has been canceled." Wait, excuse me, what? No, I didn't do that. What is that? I want it. Now more than ever. Other times I've questioned it, going, why do I really need this? Right now, this minute, with money on the way, I don't want to cancel it.
What's the opposite of canceled?
Yeah, what's more? What's hug it? What's cling to it like a life preserver here? So I'm going, oh, that's unusual. So late last night, I'm now like internet detective Ivan, okay? Going through everything I could possibly go through. My wife and I are on the phone with like some member of customer service who only does claims.
And if I know Danny Ruye,
calm.
I know his
easy.
Favorite thing to do. Ruye at his best, at his calmest, when you really want to be around Danny.
Relaxing.
It's when he's working the phones with customer service.
That's me at my finest. And in no way panicked or sweating. My wife and I snapping at each other with this poor lady trying to solve things. She's like, I work for claims. From what I see, the claim is good. Claim is fine, but I can't say anything else. You probably want to call people in the morning. We'll go, what is going on?
What's worse than all of that when you were the victim?
Yeah.
I didn't bring this on myself, but now I've got
to
deal with
it. All I was doing was trying to take my kid to a soccer game, and here we are. So the long and short, as I'm like on deep into my profile, like finding all sorts of weird stuff, there's a timeline of transactions. Claim is filed, 7:28 p.m. Beginning of whatever process, 7:31 p.m., 7:35 p.m., insurance canceled per your request. Payment changed from electronic transfer to paper check. I'm going, wait a minute, I didn't do that either. Somebody waited, this is what I'm thinking, somebody waited for me to get the payment dispersed from the insurance company, changed how the payment was coming and is going to try to steal the check. That's what they're doing.
What do you mean?
So in other words, like...
Who is somebody?
I have no idea.
Where are they?
I don't know.
Did they tap your phone?
These are the questions I'm asking. I have no idea.
That's a big allegation.
But again, I didn't cancel the insurance. Neither did my wife. Somebody did that and somebody changed the way the payment's coming. And I'm going, what in the bleepity bleep is going on? So... Then I'm like, again, deep into my probe, trying to figure out like what I might have done. Did I click something? Did I not? For my contact information, my name, my wife's name, our phone numbers, our emails. You know what my home address is? I wasn't aware of this, but apparently I now live in Toledo, Ohio. A full-on address in Toledo, Ohio, with the Toledo, Ohio zip code. like 7 Toledo Road, Toledo, Ohio.
I'm confused. You don't live in Toledo, Ohio.
This is what I'm saying to you, Grant. I don't reside in Toledo, Ohio. I've never been. I heard it's great.
Did you go to Toledo when we were in Cincinnati last week?
No, I did not take a secret trip to Toledo.
Buy a place?
I'm going, what in the actual hell is happening? So long and short, there's nothing anybody can do after hours last night. I changed my password. I re-upped my insurance because I have to drive today. I don't want to be without insurance. I didn't cancel it, but they think I did. So I got to pay through the nose, and it's a $500 increase over my rate from previously. End up talking to somebody, and they're like, yeah, that seems pretty funny. Let's investigate that. We'll call you back. So I'm just sitting there like a horse's ass for 3 hours, just going, please let this not be the largest case of fraud ever. Please let me not be a victim of Data Breach Dave and whatever the hell's happening. And apparently this is what the guy says to me when he calls me back just an hour and a half ago. It seems our agent mistyped something. You're all set now. I'm sorry?
That's better than the alternative, I guess.
So he's sitting there going, achoo, Ohio. Oh, hold on, let me put in the zip code. Achoo, Ohio, Toledo. He mistyped Toledo? And what part of Northern Virginia is adjacent to Toledo? How did someone go in and change my address to Toledo? And how did somebody change how I'm getting payments? That's a mistype? As long as it's fixed, and as long as that claim check is on the way to get fix this little bodywork that I got going, I guess we'll be fine. But that is a mystery that, to quote our boy Fred Smoot, frustrated me greatly. And now I'm like head on a swivel. Everyone's out to get me. I suspect you a little bit. I think Ryan may be involved. Darius does the thing where he like gets mad that we make fun of him about not seeing movies. Maybe he's involved. Maybe he knows somebody. Who do we know in Toledo?
We're all trying to take you down. I'm just mad that you caught on. I don't understand how your insurance got canceled still.
You know who else doesn't? Me.
Like, you can explain away the Toledo, Ohio thing with a mistake. Isn't the canceled insurance two mistakes?
Yes. Yes.
In other words.
Significant ones. Respectfully. Yeah. You're glossing over this Toledo thing.
No. I'm not. I'm saying, I'm on your team for the record.
Okay.
You're acting like I'm not. I'm saying if they want to say something was done incorrectly on our end and you were listed as somebody else, so we apologize. That shouldn't happen, and it seems like a pretty big botch.
That's a pretty big deal.
I'm with you. But an entirely different issue would then be that your insurance was also canceled.
Totally. That's significant to me.
That one's tough.
Yeah. Very, very. And so again, thank God I caught it. Thank God I happened to, like, I don't even know why I was, you know what I was looking, I was trying to look up the details of where to go to do the rental car thing and how that all was going to work. And there's this little flag. It's like, hey, your insurance policy was canceled on 9:30 at, whatever. And I'm going, hold the phone. It was?
I mean, that's the kind of thing that me and most Americans will never notice.
Yeah.
Because who's checking the app? Who's looking at their notifications? That's just an annoying bug at the top of your computer screen. Nobody's reading that. I'm not surprised that you found it. You dig in on things like this.
Well, had I not had a poor memory, and I'm going, where am I supposed to go for the rental car? I couldn't remember. If I'd remembered where I was supposed to go, I wouldn't have known. I'd be driving around today insuranceless, perhaps the victim of fraud, and someone in Toledo, Ohio benefiting.
I think there's a chance you actually bought a place in Toledo, Ohio.
What if I did?
And you just don't remember it. That's also an option, I believe. How about this? I was sent a screen grab a few minutes ago. The Commanders play the Browns on Sunday.
Yep.
They are heavy favorites heading into week 5 at this point as far as predictions are going. I think on the betting line, it's still right around 3.5 points. Not huge, right? You get 2 points generally for being at home, although I don't think it's been a full 2-point advantage truly at old Northwest Stadium of late.
At Nubs.
But they're supposed to beat the Browns. I'm seeing graphics I have not seen in a long, long time. There is a graphic with 10 different people from the NFL Network prediction crew. Most of these last names, I don't know. It's every fantasy guy and every person who's in the analytics department that they've ever employed. But it's just a bunch of last names. Here's the point. They have the icon, the logo, the emblem of the team that you're picking, right? You've seen these at the bottom of the screen on Monday Night Football.
Usually there's like one Washington helmet and 17 of the other ones.
There are 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Prediction to win Sunday's game, Browns Commanders. I will read the answers for you. Jeremiah says Washington. Wolf says Washington. Rank says Washington. Grant says Washington. Brooks says Washington.
5 for 5.
MJD says Washington.
6.
Gordon says the Browns.
Hey.
20-18.
Okay. 6-1.
Shook says Washington.
7-1.
Edholm says Washington.
That's 8-1.
Patra. Cleopatra says Washington.
9-1.
90% of the people that do the betting or the picking at NFL Network are saying that the burgundy and gold-clad Commanders will emerge victorious on Sunday, and they will have a 4-1 start to their football season.
Just not used to it, man. Just not used to it.
Now, I know this normally makes people nervous. And they don't want to see that. Sorry about your luck.
Sorry about it.
People are starting to like the old Washington football.
There's a degree we like to call buy-in that's happening. There's a in years past, guys have done it. Remember, like, a couple seasons ago, Mike Greenberg was like, you know, waxing poetic. He's like, tell me why Washington can't be excellent. Tell me why they won't have this renaissance. The division's this and this. And I think they finished 6-11 probably or something like that.
You know, picked them to be in the NFC championship game.
Yeah. Where it's like every time someone has done that, it's a wrong. I don't know now.
They are the cool kid on the block.
They are the cool kid. That's what it is.
People love Dan Quinn, just like they loved Ron Rivera, by the way. Dan Quinn's actually doing a pretty good job. That's the difference. They love Jaden Daniels. They have the quarterback and the coach that everybody wants to get on set, that everybody wants to interview, the talk of the league under center, or I guess I should say in the gun, is Jaden Daniels at this point. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves Quinn, and they're playing good ball. They're 3-1. I wanted to open up the phones and really start the show by talking about some of the surprises of the Commanders' first four games on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. What has surprised you most at the quarter poll here through four games about the Commanders' start? I'm guessing the answer will be something that's a positive surprise, although you could go negative if you want with the defense or something. But I jotted a handful of things down, just rapid fire here. Daniels being as excellent as he's been.
Yep.
The offensive line holding up as well as it has. The wide receiver room, which was knocked by everybody all over the country, not really having been an issue at any point. Austin Eckler, who a lot of people panned as being cooked and having nothing left in the tank, has been phenomenal. Now, he only played in the first three of their four games. And I would even say the kicking situation has been a pleasant surprise. Mm. I know that week one was a disaster and was costly against Tampa. But if I was to have asked you right before the season began, four games in, will they have won a game on the strength of their kicking, and will it have helped them a lot in their other two wins? I'll bet you would have said no.
I would have said no.
So those are the things top of my head I came up with. I wanted to come up with something on the defensive side of the ball, but I really couldn't think of anything that's been overwhelmingly positive or surprising. I thought Wagner and Luvu were going to be good. They have been. I thought the pass rush, frankly, would be better than it has been. Like, Dorrance Armstrong played an awesome game this past week, but he was mostly a non-factor for 3 weeks before that. So it's essentially all offense. Daniels, line, wide receivers, Eckler. Anything I'm forgetting, though, what else would you throw onto that pile?
So just the way I'd augment a couple of things that you said, just to add in some flavor to it. The offense being prolific, I think we can't talk enough about it. But it's also the manner in which it's prolific. The ground and pound version of prolific. Usually when you think of an offense that can't be stopped, we're going five wides, we're running the oop-de-oop, they got to cover Tweeter one-on-one, we're dropping back, throwing it 45 times a game, tempo this, elite wide receiver that, quarterback that if you blitz him, you're dead. Not the case. Brian Robinson thumping between the tackles. Jeremy McNichols running. Jaden Daniels running too, but the running game.
The McNichols part this past weekend was insane. I did not see that coming. But you knew they were going to run the ball really well. I mean, we talked about that all offseason. You can't have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels that demands teams defend him 11-on-11 and not run the ball well. There's really no precedent for that. We saw it in 12.
Sure. I knew they'd run the ball pretty well. I thought they'd run the ball well. Maybe not this well, but I thought they'd run the ball well. Arizona ran it great and scored 14 points. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that the offense doesn't punt, that they're always in positive, that even when they've got to throw, they're hyper-efficient doing it. There's no way you could have anticipated that.
Well, no, the offense generally, if we're just saying how good they've been, mind-blowing. Absolutely breathtaking. I'm stunned. Hats off to Daniels, to Kingsbury, to everybody involved. It's been amazing. I was just saying specific to the running game. I don't know how surprised I am about that. I think my answer is the O-line play, probably. Even though I didn't think they'd be bad, I did not think they'd be this good. I think they've been a strength.
They've been really good.
I think they have been somewhere between good and even in the run game dominant. Think about that.
Yep.
Talking about this O-line with this group that way. Numbers to back up my claim. PFF grades them as the number four highest graded unit in pass blocking through four games. They have three lines that they have graded out, looking at every play, as better than Washington's in pass protection. If you want to use another metric, if you're not a PFF mark, that's fine. ESPN has their pass blocking win rate, where they look at every play, and basically it's binary. It's you won or you lost your block. In win rate, loss rate for pass blocking, they rank 8th of 32 lines. So the mean score between PFF and ESPN, who are two of the main graders in this regard, is that they're the 6th best pass blocking unit in the NFL. If you want to look at just pressures allowed this past week, in week 4 in a win against Arizona, they were top 5 in pressures allowed again this past week. So from a pass blocking standpoint, where a lot of us, I think, were nervous coming into the year, certainly weren't confident, they've been outstanding. Do you know where they rank in a run blocking win rate so far this season?
I do, because you told me before the show.
There are 32 teams in the NFL. They rank first.
How about that?
Number one, according to the ESPN RBWR run block win rate metric. This line has been awesome. Left tackle, they don't even have a true one right now. Lucas has played most of the reps, but Coleman is coming on now, playing half the reps. He'll be their starting left tackle in no time. He looks really good as a rookie. At left guard, they bet on Nick Allegretti, who had been a backup with the Chiefs. He's been very good. He's banged up. Hopefully he'll play this weekend. At center, the $10 million they spent per year on Tyler Biadasz looks like a win. He's been very, very solid at a position that was just
a revolving
so
door.
Brutal for them for a few years. Right guard, we knew Cosme. We'd already put him in Sharpie. He got an extension. He's a good player. And right tackle, Andrew Wiley, is playing a lot better with this, for whatever reason, coaching staff and group and the way that they're operating and getting the ball out. He has been better since he got here, blocking in the run game and the pass game. He actually ranks in the top 10 among tackles, I saw today, in run block win rate. Their offensive line, to me, is the biggest surprise that I have about this team.
I love that. Offensively, that's kind of 1A for my pleasant surprises. Is there were a couple. I liked Cosme an awful lot. I was bullish on Biadasz. Didn't know about Allegretti, to be honest with you. I was hopeful, certainly. But last time, the previous regime got a guy that was more of a career backup and said, "You're our starter now." Didn't go particularly well. And then the tackle spots I thought were big risks. And it shows that they knew what they were doing in terms of fit, design, not worrying about what these guys don't do, but emphasizing and accentuating what they do well, which, it is coming through here at this point, through this point of the season. The thing that surprised me, I guess, looking at a negative, I just didn't think the defense would be this rough. Like, I didn't think they'd be good. I never in a million years thought that this would be a top 10 group just because they got defensive coaches. I've played that game before. But being still, even after a good performance against Arizona, objectively good, good for any team in the league, sign up, sight unseen, 14 points. You allow 14 points in a game. Everybody takes that no matter what, right? No matter what else is going on. They're still allowing a league-worst quarterback rating. They're still allowing the second-worst adjusted yards per attempt, meaning when you drop back to pass, what happens? For Washington, it's the second-worst in the league, even after a great performance. It just shows you how poor it's been through the first 3 weeks leading up to Sunday.
Question for you guys. We'll open up the phones. 800-636-1067. Is the number, 800-636-1067. Of all of the pleasant surprises, Daniels playing how he is as a rookie, the line balling out, the wide receivers being not only good enough but helpful in what has been an offensive juggernaut, Eckler proving to have more in the tank than a lot of people thought, fixing the kicker spot for now, for at least the last 3 weeks, what has been the most pleasant surprise through four games for Washington? 800-636-1067 is the number. MGM National Harbor listener lines. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
The Commanders are 3-1 for the first time since 2011. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. They're getting ready for the Cleveland Browns as home favorites this weekend. Question for you is, what has impressed you most? What's been the biggest surprise you didn't see coming about this Commanders start through four games? 800-636-1067. I'm going with the O-line specifically. They are ranked fourth by PFF as far as pass blocking. They are ranked 8th via ESPN in pass block win rate. They are ranked top 5 based on their performance this past week against the Cardinals for the second time in 3 weeks in terms of keeping pressure away from Jaden Daniels. And they are currently ESPN's number 1 offensive line in terms of win rate when running the football up front. They are mauling people. There were a lot of questions about this group. Left tackle was unsettled. The right tackle was unpopular. The left guard was someone who hadn't been paid or really asked to be a full-time starter. And it seems like Adam Peters and his staff and the offensive line coach as well, Bobby Johnson, have done a banner job. They have far exceeded expectations. I think they're a big key to what's going on.
Smart point bringing up Johnson, too, because that was the only hire that I would say was mildly maligned or
it
met with a tepid reaction.
Giants, yeah. Terrible O-line.
Yeah, that's. I think it's a good pull by you. Well done, tip of the cap. I mean, to me, it's piggybacking off of that. The fact that the offense is this good and it's not this, you know, throw it 50 times, Big 12, 2017 Baker Mayfield situation. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that it is a ground and pound, 36, 37 minutes time of possession, run the ball so wildly effectively, and still score 40 a game? That's incredible, and that's hard to sustain. That's been surprising.
Let's go to the phones. We'll welcome Tyler on, who's in Fredericksburg on Grant and Danny. What has stood out to you about these first four games?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Gosh, I have to say, just the offseason acquisitions have been really a big eye-opener to me. And that's Adam Peters in full effect, you know, in his very first season with us. And the only thing I would definitely like to see more, it would be getting Ben Sennett, McCaffrey, and Brandon Coleman more in the mix. But I would say the biggest pleasant surprise is Cliff Kingsbury. Him coming in, I mean, I was racking my brain trying to figure out what could he offer, because he's been a no-show in the league over the couple of years. I mean, after that stint he had with the Cardinals, but my gosh, he's floored. I mean, everyone in this league and a lot of us fans. I mean, we're floored having him, you know, being our offensive coordinator. But all right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
It's a great answer on Cliff.
Yeah, that's
Kingsbury.
What it is, right?
I was kind of thinking between the lines and hadn't even thought about him, but he might be a better answer than the O-line. For Kingsbury to get off to this start with a young quarterback and a group of players that's being thrown together over the last several weeks in an era where there's not a lot of time on the grass for camp, for the preseason. They barely played in the preseason. It's pretty staggering. And we've seen him, we talked about it yesterday, start fast with offenses in the past. They've had these unbelievable Septembers, really good Octobers. They've been one of the juggernauts in the league through the midway point, and then they fall off. And so we'll have to see if this time is different. We can wait and see. But just right now, this moment, there's no way that anybody could tell me when they hired Kingsbury and paired him with Daniels, which in hindsight looks brilliant. The way they sold it was he just worked with a college quarterback, ran a college offense slash pro offense that worked both with Arizona some, that he ran at Texas Tech, that he was a part of the USC operation last year. He's going to mold it all together with a running quarterback like he did with Kyler Murray. Why wouldn't this make sense? And I'm going, I mean, that's one way to sell it. Well, it's all working. It's coming together exactly how they envisioned it.
And you'd also envision that there was an answer to the question. In other words, if Dan Quinn and company are going, profootballreference.com, game log, Arizona Cardinals. Hey, Cliff, you see these big numbers for the first 9-10 weeks? Why do those numbers get a lot smaller those last parts of the season? You'd think with a sabbatical, with this time, and the Washington Post did a good article about how he took a trip to Thailand and kind of, you know, refound himself with some self-scouting, some self-study, taking that year working in college, you might have some answers to those questions, or at least have some theories. This is why we fell off, or this is what I did wrong, or this is what I could have done better. Here's how we'll attack it, right? Meaning you hopefully have something in store for that to counter that what has been an inevitable drop-off.
Specific to the additions for Peters that have worked out that he mentioned at the beginning of the call, Eckler's been really good. Ertz has been very solid. On the offensive line, we've talked a lot about Biadasz, Allegretti already. Those guys have been legit. And I think that I would add, if we're talking rookies, as far as offseason acquisitions as well, Brandon Coleman into that conversation. At receiver, Luke McCaffrey is ahead of schedule, I would say, as a 100th overall pick who was down the depth chart at the start of camp. Bringing in Noah Brown when they did, they've gotten a ton out of him. It's funny to say this, but where would they be without having claimed him? I mean, he's been huge. And I would even throw Olamide Zaccheaus, who just had a monster game, into the equation as well. So all of those guys, now all on offense, have been returns that I would say are positive. Defensively, it hasn't gone nearly as well, but this past week changes the trend a little bit. LuVu coming off his best game. Armstrong, same
Jeremy
thing.
Chinn played well, I thought.
Jeremy Chinn was really good. Cleveland Farrell's got a couple of sacks this season. Didn't play this past week. Let's go to Benjamin in Fairfax on G&D. What's up, Benjamin?
Hey, guys. I have another macro view of it as well, because I'm a resident 49ers fan, but like any good neighbor, I cheer for the success of the Commanders as well.
There you go.
And I'm shocked at how quickly the turnaround has happened, where when Kyle Shanahan took over the Niners, there were still two losing seasons, even though you could see pieces of what was being built. Already in four games, you can see what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and the whole effect of all the adults in the room, even with over 30 new players in the organization, they already have built the foundation, laid the seeds of, it doesn't matter if you lose 10 more games this year, you can see what's being built here, and it's really fun to watch on TV. No longer do I doubt that they're going to convert a third down or just believe they're going to give up a third and 12. I actually watched the game like, oh, what could happen as opposed to
what's going to happen? Yeah. Dude, it's so true. It's so relatable.
That's
yes.
already happening. Uh-huh. In the past, when they were at 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, you were going, okay, trust time. Let's get a stop and get the ball back and try again.
You know, maybe somebody holding the secondary.
Now, you're expecting them to make a play. And that, by the way, it's never 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9. I should correct myself. It's pretty much always 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 5. It makes it a little bit easier. Let's go to Lou, who's in Northeast on the Fan. Hey, Lou.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Grant, Danny? How you going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Very well. How's it going, bud?
All right. Listen, I would be remiss if I don't start off with this. I was 5, 6 years old, and one of my first memories was the 91-92 Super Bowl parade. So I was born into something that, you know, I didn't really get the rest of my life, and this is one of the most for the past decade, Septembers have been and Octobers have been terrible for me. I've been depressed because of the team, you know, but I would say the biggest take from this is how quick things change, just how you see just how players change just being in the right environment with the right coaching, with the right state of mind. Just guys we looked at last year in certain ways, we look at very differently today. And, you know, the offensive line, we ragged on them so bad last year. Even in seeing later in the year how they performed with Brissett, you kind of could see that they aren't that bad. But to see so much go right in such a short period of time is kind of overwhelming at times. I'm so happy and so proud that we got something that we can be proud of.
To this point, Lou, is why I didn't really play the Ron Rivera It Takes 5 Years game. And I'm not claiming victory. They could have the bottom fall out in a week or two. They could end up 7-10 this year. And even the teams that go worst to first and win 10 games, sometimes the next year there's a regression. I'm not suggesting that they fixed all their problems. They haven't, not close. But it doesn't take years when done correctly. Now, the quarterback is the whole ballgame. You got to get that right. And when you do, you've got a chance to have the very expedited turnaround. And so far, that's kind of what it looks like could be happening here. If you don't have the quarterback, you don't have much of a chance. But there's just something to culture, player eval, that right now looks a lot healthier and better than the early Rivera regime.
Well, when they would go Rivera and company, figuratively, I mean, they didn't always just say it this way, but trust us, it never worked. You know what I mean? When their actions said, we got it, we know what we're doing, aka we spent on this, drafted that, saw what we needed, assessed this way, and then here we go, we're fixing the problem or we're improving a situation, almost to a man, it never worked. Here, where idiots like me, and I'm counting myself because I was wrong, go, you guys, there's a fire. They go, no, it's not. It's not a fire at all. It's actually a relative strength, or we'll be fine, and we don't need it, or it's not a problem at all. To this point, this is not a season. This is 4 games, and they've been 4 fun games, or 3 of the 4 have been pretty fun. But the things that I thought were issues have not been issues, and in fact, they've been strengths for the, again, almost to a man. So when they go from here on out, trust us, whether they actually say it or figuratively, you go, okay. Whereas when Rivera would smugly or any of the guys up there would say, coach is absolutely right, we're doing this, or we know what we're doing because we've been around here. Look at the analytics of football. Everyone's going, you boob, you buffoon, you guys aren't close, you stink, and the guys that you thought were good are terrible. You can't evaluate for bleep. Whereas these dudes right here, where someone like me says, I see a problem, they go, that's adorable. Congratulations on seeing something. Watch this.
Let's go to Tay, who's in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Tay? How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
One of the things that I want to say is that I like was our running team. We're starting to run the ball more. We're starting to move the ball, and that's one thing that I like. Our offensive line is starting to get better, and that's one of our big improvements. One of my biggest surprises this season is the front office, all the way down to the coaches. Our coaches, we're running schemes that fit our offense. We're not just trying to throw the ball 100 times or pound the ball 100 times. We're actually mixing it up and doing the runs to open up the short passes to open up the verticals. And we're playing our game. We're not playing anyone else's game. We're playing Commander's game. And that's one thing that's new to us this season. I think if we continue on this track, we can win 11 games. The one thing that we have to address is our defense. Our defense is our weak point, but I think with small adjustments, we'll be fine. I also like that we're not going for big names. We usually go for big names and spend big money, and it never works out for us. We can go back to the Albert Haynesworth. We can go to the trades that a lot of people wanted us to make. But it just didn't make sense. And our front officer, they're understanding that. And they're spending money where we need to go. Our kicker, we just won a game with our kicker. Yeah, he's been there for 3 weeks, but he's doing an amazing job. So I think we're just continuing to build on what we've already have as far as our success moving forward.
Appreciate you, Tay.
Thanks, dude.
That's a good phone call. A lot there, but I would just double down on, it seems like they've answered the bell in the front office. They've passed all the early tests, the big decisions that they made. Mm-hmm. I mean, realize this. The Jahan Dotson trade where they got a third-round pick is the Dolphins' third-rounder, which currently, because the Dolphins are awful, is the 5th pick in the 3rd round. For Jahan Dotson,
very nice.
Who is one of the lowest targeted receivers per route run in the NFL with Philly after a couple starts in a row with Brown and Devontae Smith out, where he's caught a ball each week. Trent Scott has more touchdown catches than Jahan Dotson over his last, 9 games or whatever it is.
That's tough.
And Adam Peters got a 3rd-round pick for him just outside of the 3rd round. Washington actually made a couple roster moves today. We'll pass those along. Plus, I went for a walk and got in my feels about something we've been missing out on as DC sports fans today. I'm going to explain next. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight. We've got Caps tickets to their home opener. We're giving out at 4, and we've got tickets to a show people want to go to in D.C., a hot commodity to see Deftones. That is at 5, ahead of Blitzing the East, when we spin you around the division this evening right here on the Fan. The Commanders made roster moves today. Jamison Crowder was placed on the IR, reserved injured list. They bring back designated for return, meaning you can begin practicing. There's a 21-day practice window where you can reemerge actively on game day. Linebacker Jordan McGee, who was drafted in the mid-rounds, had a great training camp before an injury. Looked like he was on his way, perhaps, this spring to being a factor for them in the linebacker room. Marcus Mariota today, backup quarterback, designated for return. Remember, Driscoll's been the number two on the depth chart in his stead all season. And then F.A. Obada, the defensive lineman, who seems to be a frequently injured member of this line, but has been very consistent when he's gotten opportunities.
Solid producer, yeah.
Dating back to the Rivera era. All three of those guys designated to return today could be coming back.
So that is certainly good news, because one of the things, and I'm even afraid to say this stuff here, but we're adults, so get your jinxing, throw your salt over your shoulder, whatever you got to do. But they've been pretty fortunate when it comes to injuries. I know they missed Eckler this past week, but you look at some other rosters, some teams that were hopeful for being really, really good. San Francisco's been decimated by pretty much every good skill guy that you can imagine. Philadelphia in their own division hasn't had three of their five best players probably available to them for multiple weeks. So some reinforcements at a couple spots, especially that defensive line, I think is key. Mariota's maybe not as significant as Obada, but I think McGee's going to be a factor as the season goes.
Yesterday was the five-year anniversary of Juan Soto's hit heard round D.C. and heard round the baseball world that saved Washington's wild card game against the Milwaukee Brewers, got them a win at Nats Park that propelled them to the division series against the Dodgers. They would go on to win that in five games to go to the NLCS. They would sweep the Cardinals to get to the World Series, and then they'd get up off the mat down 3-2 with a back-to-back road wins in Houston to win the World Series in seven games. 5 years ago, October 1st, yesterday, Juan Soto with one of the most important swings in the history of D.C. sports.
Hader, the set, the kick, here it comes. Swing and a line drive, base hit right field. Taylor scores from third. Stevenson around third. The ball missed in right field. Rounding third. Coming home is Rendon. He will score. A base hit to drive in two runs. An error on the right fielder, Grisham, allows the go-ahead run to score. And the Nationals are in front. It's Washington 4, Milwaukee 3.
Hearing that call gives you chills.
Mm-hmm.
I walked past the center field gate at Nats Park earlier today. I watched playoff baseball all day yesterday. It was on in the background during our show, and then I got home and watched it throughout the evening. I cannot tell you, Danny, how much I miss those vibes. I cannot tell you how badly DC needs this Nationals team to be back in the October mix, but I rewatched that video last night, the highlight of the Turner call. I believe it was
Ernie Johnson,
yeah, on the call on play-by-play.
Soto's tagged out and no one in this place cares.
Nobody gives a darn.
Yeah.
Dude, we need it back. Playoff baseball, the intensity, the pitch-by-pitch drama, that feeling in the pit of your gut. And I'll say this, too, about that clip you just heard. I will stack Nats Park up in that moment that night, which I think was turned up to 11 more than anything else. The World Series games, the LCS games, the seven-run first, like all of it. That, everyone's throwing their beers and their waters in the air. It was just bedlam. It was a madhouse. I have not seen an environment in baseball playoffs since like that. I will stack that up, Nats Park, in that moment against anything you want to present to me. It was that crazy and that awesome. It's unrecognizable when you watch it compared to me, Darius, and Ryan sitting in, you know, in our own row all season long and having our own concession stand. We need it back. Please, for the love of God, learners, are you
Come
listening?
On.
Spend a little damn money. Help out your boy Mike Rizzo. The system is legit. We need playoff baseball back in the nation's capital.
So just thinking back to that, I always hate the "you knew it was different" type things in real time, because we'd say that about the Caps and it wasn't different until it was. Same with the Nationals, it wasn't different until it was. But I will tell you, it felt different. Like, remember, Michael A. Taylor checks swings, gets hit on the bottom of the hand to start that rally. And I promise you, in 2012, in 2014, 2015, any other year that they made the postseason, the umpire would have been like, "Nope, it's a swing," or "Nope, foul ball," or "Nope, he's out," or whatever. But they go, "Yeah, he got it on the hand, no problem." Ryan Zimmerman comes up against Josh Hader. Zimmerman wasn't starting at that point. Hader throws a blistering 98-mile-an-hour fastball in off the plate. Zimmerman pops it up. Dunks it in the center field for a base hit. Broken bat. Just every little thing kept coming up again and again and again and again in favor of Washington. And the second single that Josh Hader gave up to a left-handed hitter that year was Juan Soto ripping a ball to right, and a really good defender in Trent Grisham. Sorry about it. He overran that ball.
I know we don't need to re-legislate the actual play. That was such a great bounce. I mean,
the best bounce ever.
Watching it again last night, it looks like the worst play anyone's ever made in right field.
Mm-hmm.
The ball, if I didn't know any better as a grown-up, the movie Angels in the Outfield was about these like angels that were invisible that would just go out on the field and like kick the ball away from people to help the angels out. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like Al the Angel from Angels in the Outfield is standing there and just kicks the ball away from Grisham.
It hopped so weird. You could hit that ball 1,000 more times and it wouldn't do what it did that time. And by the way, I still, you know, the view I had from the press box was clear as day. Juan Soto could have jogged into third base, but he got confused and he thought the there was a stop sign for him. It wasn't, got tagged out, but nobody cared. And then Daniel Hudson closes it out in the ninth, despite, I think it was Lorenzo Cain hit a single to maybe make the place a little bit nervous for a second, but Hudson closes it out and, you know, the rest is history. They go on to beat the Dodgers. I mean, to me, I'm the weird one in that that was fun. That was exciting, but I wasn't as overjoyed because that still got them to where they'd been so many times before. To me, that first-round playoff series was the one when Howie Kendrick hit that ball against the Dodgers to shut those front-running, late-arriving, sunglass-wearing Hollywood zilches up, when they all just marched out of that stadium. That's the moment. I was delirious jumping up and down in my buddy's living room.
The euphoria for me was right then and there, because mm-hmm. it was another game where they weren't going to get the big hit, where they weren't going to come through. I honestly, all I could think about the whole time was having to deal with you the next day, unfortunately.
I get it.
Because every playoff loss ever, this is what happens, woe is me, they never get the hit.
But you didn't update your file post-Capitals. The Capitals took the poison
still,
away.
I know, but you still didn't think they could get the hit and score the run, and they didn't have the balls and this and that and whatever. And he gets that hit, and the bounce happens, and I just start running around. I was in the little area where there's some tables in that, what is it? It's not the President's Club, but whatever that little club is there. And there's just this dude running at me. And we lock eyes. It's like, this magic moment when your lips are close to mine. And me and this dude are just hugging and we're jumping up and down, like making weird noises. And I didn't know who he was until after the game when I found out it was Juan Soto's
dad. Nice to meet you, Mr. Soto.
When Juan Soto and his dad were on the field celebrating. And I'm like, that's the guy. And, like, if he would have kissed me in that moment, not only would I have kissed back, I would have used tongue.
Whoa.
Like, anything.
Cramp.
Yeah. I was just so happy.
Well, sure.
So happy.
Sure.
But anyway, that's
But you have hugged Mr. Soto. That's an important distinction.
More than a lot of people have.
More than me?
We need playoff baseball back. That's the point of the dude's story.
I agree with you.
Got a little off the rails there. The point of the dude's story is October baseball in the nation's
capital. Yeah, that'd be fun again.
I got an audio vault I feel real good about. Some of the best clips from the NFL over the last several days. They are entertaining. Some of them are even controversial, dare I say.
Whoa.
You will want to be listening to the G&D audio vault next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.